Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local pubcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark. 3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
Get me a couple of baby Guinnesses.
Cheers. I'll fetch them over.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Rob.
How are you all doing? All right?
All good. All good. I've got a question for you, Mark.
Go on.
Me? No, other one. So I believe you went to the Caravan and Motorhome show.
Yes.
And believe that you were always, you've had it in your head for a while now about wanting a motorhome.
Yeah.
Did you buy one?
Is that?
We were so close. We were so close.
Was you?
There's so much on offer, isn't there?
And all I've done since we've come back is look at motorhomes. I must know every layout and every model of every caravan, motorhome should I say. Yeah.
You sound
for
like
the
Rob.
Last 20 years.
Say, don't you get sound, Rob started.
You
honestly,
sound like Rob, though.
Just...
Can I ask, I ask you a question? I know you said you were close to buying one. Do I take that you were going there to go, oh, I might buy one, or no intention?
No. Just real. I mean, good to go anyway, just to have a look around and have a day out sort of thing. But to get a feel for layouts.
That's all.
Yeah. Well... Sort of getting them and have a look,
but not
you know.
To buy one. That's what I'm saying. You didn't go there to go
with the intention, no. But you know, just to go and ask, talk to people, get a feel for them, see what's on the market, and but yeah, I'm not in the market for a new one. So that was probably why I wasn't. But when we were there, we were like, wow, this is nice.
So seriously then, right? Because I know what I'm like. I mean, I'd have walked away with two.
I know.
So, but seriously, because when you say. When you say that you very nearly did, is that are you using that as a term of phrase, as in you was tempted but you knew you would never would, or was you actually starting to think to yourself?
I reckon if Ellen would have said, "I think we should buy this," we'd have bought it.
Wow,
they're just very expensive.
I would have
taken
no convincing whatsoever.
That's dangerous.
Now we didn't get into the conversation. Oh, shall we? But if Ellen had said, "I love this. I think we should have it," we'd have been signing on the dotted line and.
You see, that's why my marriage is so dangerous, because Daisy literally, if I said, oh, that's nice, she'd go get it if you want.
Yeah.
And that's it. I'd say no convincing.
And these are a lot of money.
Yes.
Aren't they?
Yeah. I mean, some of them, yes, a lot of money still, but a lot cheaper than what I thought they would be.
Yes.
So don't get me wrong, there were some there that were over £200,000.
Wow.
And that were like, you know, not going to afford one of them.
Well, the ones there that were over £2 million, but yeah.
Were there?
Yeah, the
don't tell Mark.
Are you talking about that big military truck Arctic thing?
Well, no, the two in the entrance, where it depends which entrance you go in, but the two big, what do they call them now? They look like coaches.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I did. Yeah. Like RVs.
Yes.
Yeah. Winnebago
style things,
But no, we saw some that were, you know, the layout that we wanted, the sort of size and everything. And yes, a lot of money.
Yep.
But you were talking £50,000-£60,000, which... You know, in this, it's not much more than some cars.
Yeah,
no, do you know what I mean?
And is it a motorhome that you like?
Yes.
The look of not a camper.
Not
van.
A camper. No,
because some of the campers are incredible, aren't they?
That was the thing. We looked at some of these, and I've seen campers on the market and people that have done their own camper conversions and whatever. But this was the first time I'd really seen a cluster of them that had been commercially built.
Yeah,
and the amount of space they'd created inside were just like, wow. And I said to Ellen, what about this one? And they were gorgeous. And she said, if we got one of those, you would regret it, because one of the things that I want is something to have a bit of space inside to move around and whatever. And although they had room, it wasn't as spacious as what, you know, like a caravan, sort of motorhome.
This is what puts me off. Mm. So I do like the idea of a motorhome. There's a few things I don't like about them. The main thing being that when you arrived at your destination and you've unpacked everything, when you want to go anywhere, it's like...
You've got to take it with you.
How do we go in here?
Yeah.
You know, unless you've got a spare vehicle on the back
of it.
So
you see people towing little smart cars, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
But the second thing is it's just the space inside.
Yeah.
I really like the space that you get in a caravan. And I think while I'm this age and I don't mind towing and I don't mind for it, I'm fine. Whereas when you get older at retirement age and you can start going further afield, going over to France a lot, going to other places, I do think a motorhome is probably a bit more.
So what's the kind of price difference then between, so like second hand, because I know they do hold the price quite well, don't they?
They can do. So some of the ones that we've been looking at, I mean, you can get, you can still pay silly money second hand for,
of course,
a relatively new one. but you can pick up some really nice motorhomes for sort of 25, 30 grand, you know, and they...
And I suppose that's me being me, because you know how my brain works. Yeah. So is there a piece of you now that's going, right, if the brand new ones that you've seen that you really like are a bit more affordable than you thought they were? Because I know that in your head you kind of thought they were probably all out of reach. Is there a part of you now that's going, well, do we spend 30 grand on a second-hand one, or do we just think, well, sod it, let's go for it? And
No, I don't think I could settle buying a new one.
Right.
And this sounds ridiculous, and it's just like a really strange fear I've got. I'd be scared of it getting stolen. And I think the fact that it's new and shiny and everything else, there's a chance of getting targeted more than perhaps one that we used.
So I always thought that motorhomes were more in the region of 35 to 40 second hand. So you've surprised me a little bit, because
you can buy them for 10 to 15 grand, but obviously very old, very basic, whatever.
This is the only thing that I see as the difference between a caravan and a motorhome, in that when we say about they hold the value pretty well, a caravan, it has no engine. So there's no mileage to it. You know, like you get to an age and you go, well, it's done 150,000, 200, 300,000 miles. Caravans even matter.
What you have to understand is people that do motorhoming don't drive them for thousands of miles a week.
No.
So you could look at buying one that's maybe 10, 15 years old and it might have done 30,000 miles.
Yeah.
You know, so they do very little miles in, because people just
They're not doing it every week.
Exactly, they take them on holiday, don't they? And that's it. And
I never thought of it like that, in offence. I've never certainly looked at the mileage of these things to go, actually, they do last longer than you think.
You will see some, like the A-class ones, where people might take them across, you know, Europe or whatever, and they might have got a lot more miles on, closer to 100,000, let's say, where people have travelled further and whatnot.
It's all right, it's kilometres abroad.
So
unless we get a Spotify deal, then.
Absolutely. We're actively looking.
Yeah.
We're actively looking. And the thing that for me is, and I know there's a big debate out there, is I'm still seething at Labour voting down. You know, one of the things that I did agree with Tories, that they were going to give everybody grandfather's rights. Mm-hmm. And so I'm limited to 3.5 ton without doing the class one course. But I've sort of come to the conclusion that I am going to be doing that, you know, probably at some point this year. You have to do it on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at certain places that I've made inquiries to. So it's just getting the time off work.
Did you see my video of the caravan and motorhome show?
I did. It was incredible.
Did you like it?
Really good. Yeah.
I've not seen it.
Have they not appointed you for next year to do it for them?
And you know, like, I didn't even get, you know, like you expect a retweet or something from the caravan and motorhome show. Yeah. They didn't even, nothing. And I don't think they put anything out from that week. Regardless of the quality of what I put out, they didn't seem to put anything out. And I thought, everyone I've asked have almost gone, it's great, but I know why it hasn't had many views, because it literally looks like a very good advert.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I never thought of it like that.
Yeah. I've not seen this video.
Yeah, so I didn't go with this. I went with my dad and his wife. But I let them go off and do their own thing, because they've never been. So I went round and spoke to a few people, a few companies that I wanted to speak to. And I had my new little camera, my DJI Osmo Pocket. And I just filmed bits. I didn't spend all day doing it. I just did little bits here and there. And I thought, how can I make this video that's different to how everyone else does it? Walking around, talking. So I just made a very short 40-second video, very fast paced, a lot of time lapses and stuff of the day. And it's only short.
It's brilliant.
I enjoyed doing it, but it was the first time I filmed one day and I edited it the second day. It took me 12 hours.
And you dropped
solid,
it on the
and
third
I dropped
day.
It on that night. I literally got it done and dropped it that night, so it was on the second day.
Are you feeling okay? Have you got any nosebleeds? Are you okay?
No,
you
sure? I had quite a headache after that day of editing, but yeah.
So we know what you've been up to, Mark, because you told us all about it in last week's episode. I think people might still be working their way through it.
Actually, you're asking questions. I've got a question for you.
Oh, okay.
Well, for all of us?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So, you know barn owls?
Yeah.
Right, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Where did they used to sleep before we built barns?
Yeah. Do they sleep?
You would think so.
Yeah.
Well, all right, where did they habitate before we built barns?
Well, what came first? Barns or owls? I guess that's a good question.
I mean, it's a good question because I would imagine barns have been around thousands of years. But
I mean, do you have an answer or
no?
Oh, cool!
Oh, brilliant!
Brilliant.
I don't know.
Are they called barn owls because of barns?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Probably.
Yes, probably.
You're sounding like Rob again.
I have got something to some of that. I was watching telly the other day, right? And you know, have you ever seen these programs like Shop Smart, Save Money,
yeah,
eat well for less, and all these different things? There were one on it. It was called Shop Smart, Save Money.
Yeah,
I think I'm not sure what are they.
It's a couple of celebrities, and they talk about products, and they say, "Oh, well, you can use this, and you know, like air fryers, for example."
Oh yeah,
they might say, "Oh yeah, well, if you buy one of these, and you'll save money on your energy bills."
I watch these sort of programs all the time.
Yeah. And anyway, the one on the other day, Shop Smart.
You sound like me, Mark.
Shop Smart, Save Money, right? Yeah. And it started off, and they were talking about this. There were this family, and they were looking at irons. One product was an iron, right?
Yep.
Now they got this iron, it was a steam iron, and it got a separate tank. And they were like pushing this, they were saying, "Oh, it's fantastic, this iron. It generates 200 grams of steam a minute." Hmm. And I was like, "What? How on earth do you know that it generates 200 grams of steam a minute? How did they weigh it?" Do you know what I mean? And who could possibly challenge it?
So, surely 200 grams of water is 200 grams of steam.
Is it?
Wow, is it not? Steam is...
Isn't this about matter?
Steam is vaporised water.
Yeah.
So
which means it changes into a gas, which means it changes its state.
It forms into...
It can't weigh the same, because 200 grams of water would sit on the floor. 200 grams of... Steam doesn't.
Yeah, no, because
unless they're saying that it empties the tank in a minute, and there's 200 grams of water in it.
I wouldn't have thought it'd empty in a minute because you'd be refilling the tank a lot, wouldn't you?
Every minute.
But, no, because the tank is obviously bigger than holding 200 grams. But what I'm saying is, for him to get the calculus of it, you generating 200 grams a minute,
in my head, I can't help but not think to me, it almost seems obvious that 200 grams of water, once heated up, will turn to boiling point and vaporizes and becomes the same amount.
Anyway, wow. Back in the room. Wow. Shop Smart, Save Money.
This has all gone a bit scientific.
This iron was 299 quid.
Ooh.
Right? The family went, "Ooh, that's a good price. Our last iron cost something like that." What? £299 for an iron?
Yeah, I think my last iron were about 200 quid.
Were it?
I know we were looking at irons not so
are
long
they
back.
Expensive irons.
A standard iron that has its own water thing. They're upwards of £80 to £90 if you buy what would be deemed as a good one.
Yeah.
This one has a separate unit.
Say, I've got a steam generator iron, so it comes with its own unit
that sits on its own person that irons for you.
Yeah. That's the one that Mark's talking about, isn't it? Yeah. It's got its own thing, yeah. Then they are expensive, right? Yeah.
I mean, not that I use it, because I don't know anyone that irons anymore, so...
Yeah, that's what I won't buy, because I don't want to iron.
Hang on, you mean you don't know anybody who irons? Don't you iron anymore?
No. Work shirts, that's it.
Does Daisy not iron?
Nope.
So you don't iron anything.
Daisy will go to as far as she won't buy an item of clothing if she thinks it's an item of clothing that would need ironing.
Okay. Well, that's a fair call. I mean, I don't know why we've not invented clothes that we don't need to iron yet.
Kirk's that rich that when he's worn it, he just throws it away and buys a new one.
No, because that's worse when it comes out of a packet. That's when it does need ironing.
It does when it comes from Shein, I can tell you.
So what you been up to, Rob?
What have I been up to? Well, I went to Caravan and Motorhome show.
Yeah.
Ooh, and also...
With Mark or separately?
No, separately.
No, I didn't invite me.
Because you're not talking.
You've got tickets before me, you cheeky bugger. I actually went to... Well, I say I, we. Went to London and watched MJ the Musical.
Oh.
Okay.
Yes.
You know he's dead. Is he dead? He's dead.
It wasn't MJ.
Oh.
Unfortunately.
It wasn't. Any good?
Absolutely fantastic.
Because I stayed away from, obviously, if people don't know, listeners, I am a massive Michael Jackson fan. And I got told to kind of stay away from the Thriller live performance. Yeah. Yes, very good as a performance, but it's just a concert of his music going through his albums and stuff.
I'm saying, yeah, I never saw it, but that's how I understood it.
So then when this was advertised out, MJ, because it's MJ the Musical.
Yeah.
Yeah, so is this more about his life?
Yeah, so to give a very loose premise of what it's about, it's set in 1993 during the rehearsal of the Dangerous Tour.
Okay.
That's when it's set. So you're in rehearsals, basically, with Michael Jackson and his dancers and his producers and whatever else as they're getting ready to put this show on. And you kind of go through the whole what Michael Jackson wanted versus what the creator of the concert, I don't recall
it. Promoter.
What they were basically saying he could afford or what they could afford. And basically Michael Jackson was saying, no, I want more. To the point where he looked at, selling Neverland to put the concert on.
Wow.
You never realise how that came about because it never gets to that point. But then throughout this story, there's MTV are there, and I'm guessing this must have been true to some degree, that MTV were creating a documentary of the concert and the making of sort of thing. And that's how they tell the backstory of Michael Jackson's life. He talks to the producers of MTV on camera of his life story and how they seamlessly changed that stage from a rehearsal room to the Thriller dance routine. Mm. And many other iconic videos and scenes was just unbelievable. Like the way it went back to 19, whatever it was, 70 odd when Jackson 5 were there and his brothers. And there was three different Michael Jacksons that played him throughout his life. And they were all absolutely incredible. It was honestly just brilliant. I think there's a lot of, you could argue that some, like, what? Oh, the choices of songs they chose. I wouldn't have chose all them songs. I might have put this song in. I'd make sure that song was in. But they were choosing songs that told the story.
Yeah, of course.
Opposed to just, oh, this is a good Michael Jackson song. Do you know what I mean?
So knowing how much of a Michael Jackson fan I am,
yeah,
and how critical I can be about stuff like this, would you suggest I go and watch it?
Absolutely.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I'll go and watch it.
I really do think you'd enjoy it. You? Mm. Yeah, you would.
Is it touring or is it just a London?
At the minute, it's in London, New York, Broadway. They've just released it in Australia.
And Rotherham.
And the no. And I feel like there's
Civic.
I feel like there's another place in America that it's on. I think there's four of them at the minute, all in residency.
Right.
Yeah, but it's certainly not gone on tour yet. But no, it's.
And what music? Do they just do Michael Jackson music, or is it some Jackson 5 stuff in it?
You're right there, Mark.
Because I wonder where you're agreeing with that.
Yeah. No, Jackson 5, yeah.
This is something with a bit of Bing Crosby.
And I don't always ask silly questions.
What?
And do they
just
cover...
Just when you're awake.
Do they cover quite a lot of his music, or is it just a particular album?
They covered quite a lot of the younger stuff as well as his newer stuff. What was really good was the guy who played his dad also played one of the producer of the Dangerous Tour, and the way that he changed his character, he'd literally be talking as the producer and then the scene would change in a very unique way where you hardly really recognise what was happening, and his dad had turned round almost like he was wearing half a coat. So as he turned halfway around, all you saw was this different side to him, and his demeanour and everything changed, and it was so... It was like, wow. When he played his dad, he was very much like Denzel Washington.
Mm-hmm.
That's who he reminded me of. And then when he was the producer, I won't know who he was like, but just someone that was far different from what his dad was. And it was just incredible. That sort of acting style throughout the whole thing was really brilliant, yeah. So,
Because I am looking forward to, obviously, the MJ film comes out this year.
Oh,
back
yeah.
End of this year. And I'm like, I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
But also apprehensive about it,
yep.
You know. But one thing, the only kind of thing that I'm trying to remain positive about it is that when I look at the other films that they've done regarding when they did Freddie Mercury and Elton John
really good, aren't they?
And Whitney and stuff like that. That although they still cover the troubles, overall it's quite a positive you know, it's almost like a celebration of who they are and the artists that they're doing that. And I do believe it's from the same makers of Bohemian Rhapsody, the guys under MJ. So I am looking forward to that.
Interestingly, have any of you watched the Amy Winehouse one, Back to Black?
Do you know? No, it's the only one I've seen, and I really want to see it.
I'll be honest with you, it won't one that I will like saying I've got to watch this. But me and Ellen were sat the other night, and we were like, what? You know, just flicking through Netflix and Prime and whatever else, trying to find something to watch. And we're there and we're like, shall we?
Is it any good?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
But I wanted to get, because I thought, and don't get me wrong, it's over 2 hours long, so it's not short, but it's meant to go from, she's an aspiring singer, to really famous, to dying very quickly.
Spoiler alert.
It almost like the, I don't know, there was almost like a middle bit missing, I thought.
Oh, well.
Very good.
Daisy's mum said exactly the same. When she said she watched it, she really enjoyed it, but she said exactly the same, Mark.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. It just felt as though there was stuff missing.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, there was stuff in it that I didn't know, you know, and which I won't go into because I don't want to ruin it for anybody. But it just felt a little bit rushed.
Do you think it could have been on purpose, as if to show...
Because she didn't really do anything in the middle.
Because it went from that to that in a very quick space
perhaps,
of time.
Perhaps, because
and caught everyone off guard.
Perhaps.
And also, a bit where you could say that element of her life is what she actually missed.
Yeah. I've not thought of that, actually. That's not a bad shout.
I tell you what I watched the other day. The Better Man, the Robbie Williams one. I think you've seen it. I don't know if you guys have seen it.
I spoke about it.
Yeah, I know you tell me you'd seen it.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it. Both me and Dana watched it. We enjoyed it. Yeah.
It was great. Good, isn't it?
Really good.
I do want to watch that.
It's quite a moving as well. And to be fair, he's, again, without giving too much away, he's literally putting, he's warts and all type of thing.
Yeah.
He's putting it straight out there, which
does.
Is a brave thing to do.
Not hiding. It doesn't appear like he's hiding anything, does it?
Right. I mean, there's one thing, you know, doing Amy Winehouse or Michael Jackson or Freddie, they're dead. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he's not dead. So for him to...
That's what I found so great about it, was that he was present on set. He was able to talk to the actor that played him in order to say, "Right, this is how I was feeling during this." Mm. He was able to tell them. Because sometimes you do think with these biopics that there's certain scenes and the way that they're delivering them and working them, you think, how do you know? Because you weren't there. Yeah. No one was there.
It's like your interpretation.
No
your
one was in that room. Only those two people know how that played out. Whereas in this instance, he was able to say, this is exactly how it went down. Yeah. And you genuinely feel like, I'm not being lied to here. I imagine that's exactly how it went down. You know?
Yeah, I thought
you think? Did you like the fact that he was played by a monkey?
Yeah, I mean, it was...
As a played by a monkey, he was represented.
Yeah, I mean, Aina struggled with it to begin with, saying, why is he a monkey? And I couldn't really give her an answer. I think that's just how Robbie Williams sort of sees himself, I think. But I don't know why he was played by a monkey, but it works.
Yeah. I'm talking about flicking through Netflix and then Amazon Prime, should I say, was I finally finished Mr. Beast Games.
Oh yes,
I know. See, I'm glad you've said it. Are we all up to date with it now? Are we all finished it?
Well, the only one I knew that hadn't was Mark, or certainly not up to date.
I'm up to date.
Yeah, me and Ellen binge watched it all.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant! So we can have the conversation.
Now, can I just ask you? You said you binge watched it. Is that because you wanted to, or you got into it and got, I need to watch all this all in one go?
You guys were saying, look, you need to watch it. We can talk about it on here. So I said, you know what? I'm going to watch it because we're going to talk about it on here.
Oh.
Very true.
So, yeah.
And
well, you start, Rob.
Okay.
Because I'm intrigued to see what you think about it. So we're talking about the Beast Games on Amazon Prime.
Yes.
Mr. Beast.
Yeah, Mr. Beast. So firstly, I thought it was phenomenal television. I really did. I thought it was just outrageous. The money... That was on offer, the spectacle of how big the show was, what the lengths they'd gone to create these sets and these pieces, sort of the ideas of the games that they were doing, and I think what really made me so invested was the psychology behind the games and what they were doing and how it was. I was like, oh my goodness me!
I completely agree with you, Rob. That one of the things that I've said it before, and I know you guys take the mick at me a little bit regarding some programs that I watch, but the main reason I watch some like reality TV shows and stuff like that is to, I'm intrigued about the psychology and how people behave. How they behave when they've got a camera on them, or how they behave when they forget they've got cameras on them. And especially around this mob mentality sort of thought. I've always found it incredibly insightful. So the fact that they've taken that and then added money, I think is absolutely pure genius. For me, and I know we'll talk about it a bit more, but just as a generalisation, I think it's one of the best types of programme that it is. I mean, what would you class it as? A game show?
Reality TV/game show, whatever.
Yeah, it's a game show.
I think it's one of the best things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I would disagree. From a game show format, it was the best thing. Another thing that really impressed me was the editing and the way that they edited certainly as it got further down the line, it was gripping. They were so good at doing it. I was just like, that final episode, I was sat there going, this is amazing. The way they edited this, it's just fantastic. Mm. So good.
But that just stands for the way Mr. Beast has come up through YouTube and what he's done. He'll have obviously learned his craft over the years to what people want to watch and what they want to see, because you know he's
and how to present it
and how yeah, to present yeah. it, because his job from right back in the day has been to try and generate views. That's it. You know, how do you generate views? You can't do that for so many years and be so successful at it. I do believe he is probably the most successful YouTuber. You don't go through all that and not learn anything. And I think the fact that they've taken that format, I think Amazon Prime have been absolute genius, because I do believe Amazon Prime have been trying to find something to hang the hat on a little bit. You know, big production houses like Netflix and stuff like that have all got their own little things that they're known for and that they've, you know, knocked out the park. And I think they've landed on an absolute pearler, because for me, it ticks so many boxes. Mm. Once you've got used to the American contestants.
It does take a little bit of start, doesn't it?
So I am very intrigued, though, to know what other Mark thinks of it.
Not me. You mean other Mark?
We'll come to you in a minute.
Yeah. Well, I think you know how I feel, but yeah.
I am very intrigued.
So scale, obviously, it's massive. I did see some technical flaws in it, which I'm sure you must have spotted.
Technical flaws?
There were some bits when he was talking and his mouth and stuff weren't in line with the...
Oh, like dubbed in the way...
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, I weren't watching it for that, but there were a couple of things and I thought, I would not normally spot anything like that, but it was quite obvious.
I think it's probably the speed at which they're trying to create...
Probably, turn it round. Yeah. Overall, I didn't like it.
Right, okay.
It made me feel really uncomfortable.
That's a fair comment. Okay. But carry on.
The reason he says that, Mark, it's probably because of the psychological money aspect of it and the greed of it. Is that where you're going with this?
Yeah, and I do also think that it's, although these people have signed up for it, they didn't know exactly what they'd signed up for, and I think there was an element of exploitation involved.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's one of those...
By the programme makers, onto them.
Yeah. And there's one clip in particular that stands out, and it was from there onwards where I had to say, right, I'm watching this for the purpose, because we're going to talk about it, rather than that I wanted to watch it.
You would have stopped at that point?
I'd have stopped watching it, really didn't like Mr. Beast.
Really? Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
There's a girl in there, and I tried to remember her number. I don't know if it was 752 or 762.
You're not getting confused with Squid Games, are you?
And she was a former personal trainer, and she plays a game where they've got a suitcase opposite each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've got two each, and they swap them around.
Yeah.
Backwards and forwards and.
It was on the island, wasn't it?
That's right. It's just those two.
Yeah.
And I think it's to win 100 grand or whatever.
Yeah.
Or 200.
Wait, to win the island.
To win the island.
Sorry, that's right. Yes. That's right. It's the island. And so he asks the guy what it would mean to him, and then he asks her what it would mean to her. She's crying her eyes out, sobbing a bloody, you know, what it would mean to her of a family, what she's lost, you know, where she is in her life, what she's trying to do. And he he's just stood there smiling. He goes, "Huh, that's so cool." And I'm like, "What?"
Yeah.
She's absolutely in bits.
The problem
and
is...
He's just smiling and said, "Oh, yeah, that's so cool." And it's
The problem is you've no idea if that was taken from a context of something different because of editing. And I'm not sure if that might have played out.
It's not cut. She literally finishes and he cuts over it. It came across to me that his only interest, which I understand, is the program. He didn't give a shit about her.
The problem is, just to flow this out there, you've no idea that wasn't a gameplay by her.
She's absolutely sobbing her heart out.
I totally get that, but there's almost an element of him looking and say, this could just be a total gameplay by her pulling on heartstrings.
I don't know. She was absolutely sobbing her heart out.
I do remember the bit though.
And bearing in mind, these contests at this point still don't know everything that's in front of them, so they don't know what the backwards and forwards and the changes and all the little tricks and U-turns and what's the word I want to use? Very clever how they do the
tactics
that unfold in later stages. And so it's almost, and I just thought she was being so honest and about her feelings and where she is in her life and how hard she's had it, and it was just like he just wanted to move on. And
what I will say,
very impersonal.
What I will say, and this isn't you're absolutely right, I'm not disagreeing with you. I totally see where you're coming from. The only thing that I will say is that is kind of what he's known for. So, like, he is known for not having much
emotion,
empathy, or you know, his character that he's built over the years.
He's very blasé.
He's that little bit of someone will say something, he'll look at the camera as if to say, "Really?" or you know, cool. Move on or next or. Like somebody will be out or what his competitions, and he'll go, "Oh, you could have won 100 grand. Never mind."
Yeah,
it's
almost the ruthlessness
of
the game.
I'm not saying it's right,
and that's what makes it. It's almost like watching, if you were to watch a film and this is taking place within the film, and he's the baddie.
He's the
bad guy.
Yeah.
I couldn't latch. I just thought, I can't get on with that. Yeah. You know,
I actually remember the moment so clear because I do remember thinking in that moment, a bit of a weird reaction, but straight away, the editorial side of me goes, that could have been cut from somewhere else, it could have been this, but I think I remember the shot, it was almost like it was a wide shot.
They were both
she was still crying when he said it.
Yeah.
But again, it is almost that ruthlessness of the show, whereby there was very few instances where he ever said, and I think he did do it a couple of times where he kind of went, "Wow!" Like it got him a little bit. It got him, but more often than not, it was almost like, "I can't be like this with one person and not with another." So I've been ruthless throughout the whole thing. I'm not going to crack now. Do you know what I mean? Just because she's crying, because almost like there were a lot of people getting upset at a lot of different points. But the psychology of that show was,
I think, it's incredibly clever. I don't know how they would go about doing another season.
I don't.
Although I'm sure that they'll do many more. But the fact of knowing now what would unfold, you know, it would take some serious thought for every contestant not to go at the first round. I'll take that.
Because
they know that the risk of what they could have had, somebody's just going to take a later date, or you know.
Like Big Brother 2 was never as good as Big Brother 1.
That's the thing with programs like this. I say you're never going to replicate the pure thing, you know. But again, I've got to say it. I think the guy is a genius, as in the team. I know it's a team. It's not
absolutely.
Just him.
Yeah.
I think he's a genius, and I think that
I did think it were sorry. I did think it were like. Someone had just let loads of teenagers loose with loads of money in the presenting style. It was almost very, obviously very professionally done, but very amateur at the same time.
Yeah, but again, that's just his brand.
It, for me, going on from what you were just saying about another series or whatever, I've listened to some podcasts with interviews with him since, and how his take is that if they were to ever do it again, it would be different.
They are doing it again.
I wasn't sure if it had been confirmed.
It'd have to be different.
The main thing is that they what they didn't do or couldn't do because of the contestant numbers. When they started it with 1,000, they weren't able to create stories and delve into the lives of the people that were involved in the game. They started to do that later down the line. He's already said if they did it again, they'd be starting with lesser contestants and making it more about the contestants right from the start, opposed to having this mass of people. I mean, one of the facts of this show was it took them 3 days to unbox the GoPros. For the contestants, because every contestant had a GoPro to film them.
Yeah.
Can you imagine hours wise of footage? I can't remember what it is. I'm not even going to attempt to make it up, but it's like
they go on, Rob.
No, I'm not. No, but he did say he got over 25 editors working continuously from the day one of filming, just going through GoPro footage and stuff. So just, you know, the depth of this show.
So I know they were watching stuff, weren't they, to make sure that there was nothing underhand out there.
Yeah.
And that's why they went through some of it and pulled some of the contestants out, didn't they? Yeah. So look, we caught you cheating at this level. And
I want to talk about the psychology of it before I do. Just in general, Mark, what did you enjoy it then, Mark?
I loved it. Yeah. I'm same with you two. I watched it. Weren't expecting much from it when I first started watching it, thinking it'll probably just be, you know, wishy-washy, might be. I don't like American stuff to start with, but I were pulled in straight away with it. I liked the slickness of it. There were no messing around. There was no, this is what's coming up. You know, it were very, very quick and very slick. And I think he's a genius. He's very good at what he does, although he doesn't do much, if you know what I mean. He don't send loads of words, he don't waffle on, but it's very good what he does. And of course, I know there's a team behind it, and I thought it were very, very clever from the offset, and the amounts of money's involved, you know, and it's the psychological side of it. The whole thing of it was very entertaining.
You see, I've been watching Mr. Beast now
and just commenting on, like, can they do it again? It's a bit like Traitors, a completely different type of game. But if you watch the Traitors, you go, how are they going to replicate this? But they're on the third series. I've watched three now. It's all very similar, but it's different at the same time.
There's enough difference.
There's enough difference because Traitors is about people, and. So this quiz show, this Mr. Beast games is going to be about people, because people, yeah, you can do different games and people will react differently again. Although they think they know what's coming up, they probably
will. It'll just be bigger. As in like the money will be bigger or whatever. So like you said there, Mark, you know what, if we do it again, then how many people are going to be at the beginning, sorry, I'm taking that money, because, you know, the thing is the carrot at the end will be bigger.
Yeah.
That's the thing, the carrot at the end will be bigger. I've been watching Mr. Beast for about 2 years, and I think he's brilliant. I'm not in the generation of watching YouTube. Not many of us are, apart from Rob and Mark watching his Disney World tours. But whereas Noah, my youngest, that's what he watches. He watches YouTube like a TV channel.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't. I have something specific, and some of the stuff that Mr. Beast has done in the past, I've thought has been great. However, everything that he's kind of done, even when he did the Squid Games a little bit, it was almost as though you was against yourself. It was just what you could do, or what, you know, how long you could survive in this, or how long you could do this. Whereas what I thought was an absolute genius move, and this is what I'm talking about regarding the psychological aspect, is how much of it was about putting faith in other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And fundamentally, strangers.
Yeah.
That, you know, when you're talking about, like, I thought the most brutal thing was when there was in Rose, I think it was episode one.
I
think it was episode one. Anyway, there was in Rose on the boxers.
Yeah.
One. And somebody could accept money.
Yeah.
That would then wipe out the rest of the row. Entire of that row.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So not only was you tempted by the money. Like you were saying there, Mark, you don't know what else is coming, so you want to stay in the game because you want to experience
it.
You
want more, and more bigger money.
And you've got things, I don't want to accept that if I could get that.
Yeah.
You know, which I suppose the idea of gambling, I get that. But to be in a situation where you've got all that to make to decide on, but then know that somebody else
could take it out for you,
yep. could take it away from you,
yeah.
and not just take it away from you, but then end your game.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
For me, I thought that was psychological genius.
Yeah,
I can't even begin to imagine how that would feel or what I would do. I watched it and then I watched it again and made Daisy watch it.
Mm.
Yeah, and Daisy enjoyed it as well. But I spent the entire time, like the second time round, me watching it, probably spoiled it for Daisy a bit, going, what would you do at that bit?
Mm.
What would you do at that bit?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
what would you do at that
me
bit?
Me and Ellen had those conversations. What would you do, you know, but it would just, yeah.
I think they've missed a trick as well in that I genuinely believe they could literally remake that same season, but with psychologists, where it delves into the psychology behind the gameplay.
Why they used to do on Big Brother in the first couple of series.
Yeah. The understanding the psychology behind the gameplay, because I would find that so interesting to watch, where professionals and people that really do understand the psychology of human behaviour talking about what's going on at this moment in time through their, you know, because we look at it and go, God, this is mental, but I don't quite know how to process what they're going through. And by having these professionals saying, well, at this moment in time, they're trying to psychoanalyze this, you know, I find that so interesting. And the fact they haven't done it makes me go, there's a trick there.
I've got two main questions for you. And I know it's hard when you're not in that situation, but try and put yourself in the situations where we live our lives how we live now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So two questions. One, if you were up on that gantry with the offer of $1 million.
When it was counting up to a million,
it got to a million.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to comment on
this. And you knew you could press the button, take a million, wipe your teammates out, but you stay in.
Yeah.
So you're still in the game, you've got $1 million, but you're wiping out your teammate. Would you have pressed the button?
Yes.
So you're saying yes straight
away?
Well,
I would have. 100%.
Yeah. So I can honestly say that hindsight's a wonderful thing. If I'd known what was coming, yes. However, in that moment, no. I would have been that one thinking, as an idiot, no, I've got all these people counting on me. And I know I would have. I've got all these people counting on me. And then later down the line, when I would have inevitably got cast out, I'd have absolutely kicked myself for not doing it.
I mean, just to clarify, I'm not saying yes because I've seen the rest of the program and thought, oh, you know, I'm not saying, I completely understand what you're saying, but I'm saying yes straight away because I was amazed that none of them did it.
Oh,
I know.
I couldn't believe
it. It's a million dollars.
It's a lot of money.
The oldish guy with the grey hair.
Yeah.
We're actually quite sly, weren't they?
Yeah.
And the fact that he'd played the hero, then lost out and tried to double cross his teammates.
I didn't
really
get that bit when I saw that. Demo was saying, "Ooh," and I was like, well, "I don't really get. He's not doing anything wrong. He's going around asking if people are going to put themselves up on the thing." It didn't make any. It wouldn't have altered the game in any way, shape, or form. He was just asking if they were putting themselves up for it. So I didn't really. I thought he was a bit mis.
But going back to when they were on the platform, like you said, I mean, you've got $1 million. You wipe your team out, but you stay in the game. You still stay in the game, and you get $1 million. I mean, what is the?
For me, it's a no-brainer. It's,
you know,
apart from letting down people, I get that, but you're letting down.
You don't know.
Your contestants.
You're not letting down your mom and dad and your wife and your kids.
That I was trying to find out is over what time period it was filmed, because I said to Ellen, these people were talking about their teammates as if they've known each other for 30 years.
It was filmed over, it says, a couple of months. So it was literally 2 months.
Yeah, and they were saying, oh, and he's my brother, and he's, and I'm like, hang on a minute.
I think,
each other a day. Oh, that's how it feels. Yeah.
It is very much, I think, the Big Brother effect. We used to call it on cruise ships, or we used to say cruise ship goggles, but it's that goldfish tank. You're in each other's company. Bear in mind what we saw, all those hours and months outside of the program that they were spending together talking, and they've really got to know each other. Or we've only seen the time they spent together on set, whereas they had lots of time outside of that. Most of the most of it was filmed overnight.
Would you have pressed it more?
If I'm honest, I don't know, because it's like you, Rob.
yeah, it's a life changing sum of money, but it's been in that position where you would either have to have been in the frame of mind from the outset that these affiliations, if you like, with people that you don't know, doesn't matter, and you're just going to play the game and then just take a sum of money once you get to it, then that's one thing. But I suppose it's seeing the relationships develop, and if you did really get that bond with somebody, knowing what, you know, their background might be, that I don't know, because there were all sorts of stories, weren't there? Mm-hmm. Then that takes an emotional toll on you as to, right, hang on a second, if I do this for them, they can't afford to pay their mortgage at the minute. Mm. And you know,
I think it's my naive, sorry Mark, I think it's my naivety that makes me think that if I'm a good person in this game, I might be rewarded later down the line.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's a good point, because what I was going to say is those people that didn't take the million dollars, mm. but what I struggled with then is, you know, with the helicopters coming in, mm-hmm. and they were like, who's going to go on here? I thought straight away, these people that saved them, surely they, and but nobody was so suggesting that, yeah. these people should be on. I'd be like, well, they should be on first on the helicopter. I don't understand why
the first person that got picked for that should have gone, right, you on the helicopter. I'm there anyway.
Exactly.
And all you four that saved them.
Because it should work both ways. If they've saved them by not taking that money, and so therefore they should let them get on the helicopter.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why.
And this is where it all starts unravelling, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Majority did though, didn't they?
The one where they were in the 10 rooms.
Yeah.
And they got glass tank. It got $1 million in it or whatever.
Well, that was going to be my next question.
And there was enough for him to take. They could have taken 10% each.
Yeah.
And then that guy in the middle took $500,000 or whatever. And they were like, and then later on they were like, hang on a second, who's took all the rest of it?
That was a big thing for me. That was probably the highlight of the series for me. That moment.
Is this when they came out the house?
Yeah, that's right.
Individualized.
They didn't know how much the next person had taken. Yeah. They just knew that there was only so much left.
I mean, just to give some context, yeah. So there was a glass box, wasn't there, with £1 million in it. 10 contestants, each sent off, so they didn't know who was going. By one, they had to go up and take an amount of money of their choice. They could take $1 million if they want, or they could take $1.
Yeah.
But they all knew that there was 10 of them. And if they split it equally between them and took 10,000
each, well, the first lady,
100.
She took the hundred thousand,
yeah.
And she thought that next person would. Yeah. And did next person take a little bit?
He took a little bit more.
A little bit more. And then of course that middle guy, he just took a ridiculous amount.
650,000.
Yeah. He needed.
And then one guy didn't take anything.
The only bit I didn't, because don't get me wrong, again, and I am sitting here going, fair play to him.
Mm.
Fair play to him. He went there to play a game. He went there to win a life-changing amount of money.
He might as well took it all. Then.
He'd got the debt that he'd got. Now, the only thing that I couldn't buy into, if you like, was when he was asked how much his debt were and to clear his debt and everything. I think it comes to like $557,000 or something like that.
$530 million.
Million?
Not million.
Thousand.
Sorry,
$530,000. So like, in my head, I instantly thought to myself, right, well, he'll take that amount. And you know what? I don't blame him.
That's exactly what I thought.
So the fact that then he went, so I'm going to take 650.
Yeah.
I was a bit like, okay.
Well, he might as well have taken all of it, because what he left behind were pointless to restroom. It's just take it all,
mate. But I must admit, this is where I differ. So if I'd have been up on the gantry offering $1 million, and all it meant were my teammates going home, I'm taking $1 million. I'm there for a reason. You're only there once. $1 million is a life-changing amount of money for me and my family. Mm. My family mean more to me than the contestants.
Yeah, because they can't have that money. And you can't give any
to... Yeah, so therefore, you know. Bang. And that would have been end of story. And I wouldn't felt bad about it one jot.
I would have felt a little bit bad. But
I wouldn't. However, it's weird how I can quite confidently say that that's what I believe I would have done in that situation. However, put me in the situation of the taking the money out of the glass box, because there was only 10 of us.
Yeah.
I'd have done the fair thing and only taken my share.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah, I
but
would
it's
have.
Weird, isn't it? Because
yeah,
if
it
I'd been
weird.
Offered $1 million up on a gantry or whatever, I'd have took it and that's it. But yeah, if I'd have been first out the house on that box... I could take $1 million.
But
take it, it's there.
Yeah, but
I think I'd choose to take the percent.
But I'd do exactly the same. But what I'm saying is, the reason why is that if I'm on this gantry, it's all or nothing. If I take a million, I'm not taking that money away from me because they can't have that money.
Now,
but obviously in the box, they're taking
it from somebody else.
If I take all of it, they don't even get a share of it. So I think that's why I'm.
And now come back to where I was coming from in terms of the way they've made the show. So this guy does that. The unfair thing, shall we say, even though he's allowed to do so because that's within the rules, he takes more than what he should do, and the show's maker puts him on a pedestal and lets everyone have a go at him for it.
Mm-hmm.
I just found it...
They didn't let them have a go at him.
They did.
They basically wanted to let everyone know who'd taken
absolutely.
The money. And they
wanted to see the aftermath of what had happened.
But can I just flip it on its head a little
just
bit?
Just for television.
I agree with you. I do agree with you.
Yeah.
But playing devil's advocate a bit, do you not think that you could look at it through a lens of, if you make that decision, then own it? Do you get what I mean? So I get what you mean, he made that decision. He made that decision to do it. They all could have taken their fair share. They could have all walked away with 100 grand and stuff like that. But do you not think that there could have been an element of that thing of, right, you've made the decision, why should you be able to hide behind that? What, do you know what I mean? Own it. You've made the decision, own it.
On the flip, put him in a situation where you can't walk away from it. You're going to stand there. We're going to make sure that everybody else knows what you've done, and you're going to stand there and take it.
Yeah.
He could have gone out of there and could have killed. He could have killed himself.
I get it.
In that instance, though, he boiled my piss when he not only did he take 650 million,
in them thousands.
He stood
not
in
like
a,
you to exaggerate.
They got him in a room first, and he proceeded to throw three of the other guys under the bus by saying, "You all think these are cohorting. These are
that was just making himself feel better.
Absolutely. Yeah. But there was
defense mechanism
a moment in there which was like it was an act of kindness to some degree, and it was a really nice moment. And this is where the show had those moments where it wasn't just all greed, and I don't know many of the other words. There was plenty of them of that nature, you know." Seen people
was deceit, weren't there?
Yeah, yeah.
Naivety.
Yeah,
greed,
yeah.
All the everything really. Yeah. What, seven sins, I suppose.
Yeah, in bad ways.
Yeah. But there was one. Lost.
There was one moment.
Season two.
There was one moment. Oh, yeah, there were a couple of moments, but one that really stood out for me was it was the helicopter part, and there was a platform, and six people stood on those platforms, and they said, and one woman said. She just came out of it. She didn't even know what the game was. Was, if this is a self-sacrifice, I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm.
I will go. And they didn't even know what it was. And the game was that you had to convince everyone in your group to give you a coin.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you got the coin, you were going on that helicopter. And she had no idea, but everyone in that group looked at her and went, there's my coin. Mm. And all six people or five people gave her their coin, which meant she was technically the winner of that group.
Mm.
And she got the coin and walked away thinking she'd self-sacrificed. Got to the helicopter and he went, well done. And she looked back at the team as if to say, hold on a minute, I was self-sacrificing. And they'd given her the coin for her being the one. And bear in mind, they were all out. Yeah. Not technically. She could have picked them. But technically, they were all out,
and that's one of the things, the deep-rooted thing of why I love the program so much, that you could try and second guess what was going to happen.
Yeah, you'd know.
You could try and guess what was going to happen next, or what was the best thing to do, or whatever. You know, but you just don't. You just don't know.
No, there was
you
one.
Just, you just don't know.
There was one girl in there who made it quite far to the end. And she pretty much said in one point, she was sat up, it was where there was a spelling contest, and someone said something about how she was going to do it, and she said, if I can't play with integrity, what's the point in playing?
Yeah.
And she's
she was the
one
girl, wasn't she?
Yeah. And she literally went through that game consistently saying the same thing.
Yeah.
If I can't play with integrity, I'm not playing. And it was that point where they were on the towers.
She went to that point.
They could give money to. And she just stayed well out of it.
Yeah.
And said, I'm here if you need me. I'm here if you want to. Yeah. Give me the money or to help me get through. But other than that, I'm not begging anyone. Mm. I'm not playing sides. I'm not playing tricks and games. I'm just going to play with integrity. And she did really well through it.
And to be honest with you, and I'm not just saying it because all of us around this table now are all, we've all got strong morals and we're all good people, but that's exactly how Mark would play it.
Yeah.
Other Mark. I know that I'm a sucker for money. So if I get offered a certain amount of money that I know would change my life, then I would take it. And that's it. That's it. Whereas I think Mark would play it like that young girl. Yeah. But no, I would, because I just
sat in a corner crying.
I do because, and that's why I was very intrigued to see what out of everybody what Mark thought about it, and everything that he's just said today about the programme, and we haven't spoken about it beforehand. I'm not surprised one bit.
No.
I'm not everything that you just said there about the you can still appreciate how well it's made, you can still appreciate the entertainment of it, but I knew there was something deep down that knew that you would get to a point where it would be too what's the word?
Too much.
You used it earlier. When you taking advantage of exploiting that it would cross a line, and I'm not surprised whatsoever. No. And so there's no right or wrong.
I think we spoke about it weeks ago, and I think I remember saying when I was sat here, I'm really intrigued to know how you, because I felt the same.
Mm.
But from for me, the whole thing reminds me of art imitating life. You know, like there's good and bad in everyone, and certain the way things are playing out, it is literally like life. You know, not everything's fair.
I tell you what, I don't think they spoke about enough.
What's that?
To be honest,
what's that?
And maybe we should have at the beginning of this episode said it was a massive spoiler alert for anyone, because I can imagine someone sat there going, "Oh, I'm going to watch that." No need now.
we've not said it was what.
But one thing that I don't think has been spoke about enough.
What's that?
Well, out of 1,000 people, the last two standing were numbers next to each other.
Yeah, I know.
I can't remember the actual numbers. No. I've been racking my brain.
Well, not say the number even if we knew.
Yeah, but the two people left out of 1,000 people.
Yeah.
And bear in mind, some of the games were fate.
Yeah.
Some of it was literally chance.
Yeah.
Some of it was, you know, challenging mental or physical.
4-5-6 and 4-5-7 or something.
But the numbers were next to each other. What are the odds of that?
Yeah, and it even showed you at the end of the episode, like in the last episode, it showed you them right at the beginning.
Yes, they're next to each other.
Talking to each other, saying good luck.
Yeah.
And they're the ones, they were the two in the final. It's crazy.
Well, while we talk about contestants, what's your thoughts about the sort of religious guy with beard?
Yeah.
Who were on the podium, who didn't take the $1 million.
Yeah.
But then obviously, because in my mind, he went from like a hero to zero.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because I'm not religious.
I didn't like him.
I didn't like how he was playing the game.
He were a chauvinist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know
he played that whole card of, I will take equal amount of men and women. I said to Gemma, I said, this is like Noah and the Ark.
Yeah.
I said, you know.
And then he says, I'm going to let God decide in that. I mean, I know he can play the game how he wants.
I'm going to let God decide. And they were all men.
But I thought he was just talking a load of rubbish.
Yeah,
absolutely.
He were, instead of being honest and saying, I'm not going to take any women, I'd rather him say that. I'm not going to take any women. I'm going to do what I want. I'd rather him say that.
Either don't say anything.
But he was doing all the sort of, I'm going to let God decide. And well, you can't, because you've got to make the decision.
I think, again, and I'm not saying this is just money driven, but I do think that I like the way that entertainment regarding that sort of thing is going along them lines. Mm. As in, like, I feel as though when you start talking about certain amounts of money, that there's true jeopardy there, or it means so much. You know, people go out and go on to, I don't know, what's that one with big coins that go on? Tipping Point.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And they go, and you know, all this thing, and oh, you've won $4,000. Great. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong, $4,000, fine, great. But do you know what? You know, there's no jeopardy there. There's no, whereas.
Is that you're going to stick or you're going to twist? I'm going to twist.
There's no real risk.
$4,000.
I'm not just saying it about the Beast Games, because I think Limitless Win does a very similar amount of thing with the London Day. And it just gives you that feeling when you're watching it of not knowing.
Yep.
Truly not knowing. apart from when they give you teasers at the beginning of the show saying what's coming up in the show, and you're like, you've just spoiled it for me. I don't understand why programs are doing this, but I do like the way that I do think that Beast Games has put a line in the sand a little bit.
Well, and as well, absolutely, bear in mind, Amazon had no idea that the money that was been spent. They have no idea. They had no idea. It was
they just gave him
he had an amount of money.
Unlimited budget, didn't they?
No. Well, this is where it's all. No, they didn't give him an unlimited budget. Apparently, they gave him an unlimited
million,
amount.
700 million, weren't it?
No, I don't think it was.
I don't know how much he gave away. Do we know?
No, I did know. I can't. I've not got it written.
It tells
down,
you the end, doesn't it?
Yeah, but
20 odd million or something, 22 million that he gave away,
and only the original figure was the figure that Amazon gave him to give away. Everything else was his money.
Oh. Yeah, I think I get what you're saying, Rob. I do get that, and I know that that's what he is known for.
How much did they pay him, though?
I think
he got nothing. He hasn't earned anything from it.
That's where
he must have got somewhere.
No, he genuinely, he's lost.
Rob, listen. Listen to me. Listen to me. Right. Yeah. I know that that's what you've read.
Yeah.
Right. I know that's what you've read.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't think that that's true.
What?
I don't know.
Okay. I don't think it. Look, nobody does anything in life. Or, sorry, that's really general.
What we do with this podcast for free.
Yeah.
You know that, don't you?
Yeah, it costs us money. I know that he does give away a lot of his own money.
Yep.
But bear in mind, his own money is money that he's earned from doing what he does.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not as if he was a billionaire and he's just decided to give it away. He's earned money. And realised, I'm going back to his early days of YouTube, he's earned money.
Yeah.
And then realised that he could get more views by giving some of that money away, which then would return him more money in the long run.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's a bit like these radio stations that give away £450,000 cash giveaway. And everyone's like, oh, yeah. Well, yeah, they're making money off that because it's £2.50 to enter and they might have a million people entering.
Yeah.
So, yes, you look great for giving away the 450 grand and crack on. Not a problem. You're changing people's lives.
Yeah, it's a lottery, isn't it?
But you can't miss the fact that they're going to make 2.5 million from it. There is no way on God's earth, and I refuse to believe it, and you can sit there and tell me all the facts that you think you've read.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? But there is no way
that
he has shelled out $25 million of his own money. Yeah, and walked away from that £25 million poorer.
Well, all it says is he made a loss of tens of millions is the loss he made.
I don't believe it.
It's the reason why, when you said that season two's been commissioned, at the minute he's been advised not to do it. They can't afford it. His team can't afford it at the minute.
I think that at the minute, there's a lot of videos and speculation going around regarding Mr. Beast.
I only heard it from him.
And his money.
It came from him on a podcast episode with
Colin and Samir. I've seen him on a podcast and he said that he's been signed up for 3 seasons.
Right. So, bear in mind, there's the timescales as well. The podcast episode I listened to could have been 4 months ago. But Colin and Samir, when he was on there, which is a creative podcast, he was telling them that they asked him if there's going to be a future series. He said, I want to do a future. I absolutely want to. He said, I'm being advised not to because we lost tens of millions. And they laughed. He went, I'm not joking. We lost tens of millions on that show. Because he said, my fault. I didn't know where the line was. I just kept putting more money in. I kept doing bigger things. But on the hindsight, it will probably get us a second season, and hopefully I'll have better people that advise me better, is basically how he worded it.
Well, I'll do a bit more digging because I don't believe that he did it for nothing.
Can we talk about the sort of all these Guinness World Records that he broke, apparently, didn't he?
Yeah, loads, didn't
I mean, there 44. Were
44.
Is that how many?
I mean,
44.
I mean, some of them are a bit silly, like, but I mean, that's a lot of records.
So, largest physical cash prize on set, which was 5 million. So what you saw that he was stood on was actually...
I mean, that's
five
crazy.
Million,
real money, yeah.
Yeah, real, 5 million in real money. Most prize money turned down on a competitive reality TV show, 1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Largest prize fund awarded for a competitive reality show. I don't want to spoil it in case people are not...
Don't spoil it.
Most money won in a single episode on a competitive reality TV show, 2,020,000. and there's only a few, obviously. Largest reality competitive show was 1,000 contestants. No, they've never had that many.
And then
many
there's all this camera stuff that we talked about earlier. Yeah. All these
most amount of cameras on set up. And most amount of hours recorded for a show. There's 44.
So if there is a second season, we're all watching it apart from other Mark.
Well, yeah, Mark. I won't watch it again.
I mean, I can't wait for it, to be fair.
Yeah, I know, me too.
But this one was number one in 80 countries just through halfway through the season. It was 80 countries. And it had over 50 million views in 25 days, which I actually thought was actually quite poor, if I'm honest. But it's been superseded since then by Lord of the Rings.
What I do find with Mr. Beast, though, I mean, what's his name?
Jim Donaldson.
Jimmy Donaldson. He smiles a bit. He smiles a bit weird for me because he smiles a bit funny, doesn't he? Everyone.
Yes.
He sort of goes. Yeah, so it's a bit.
It's almost forced.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, but he's just got.
He struggled with illness all his life.
You know, it's just a strange smile he's got.
So he struggled with illness all his life. He was quite ill as a boy.
Yeah, he got Crohn's disease
and something else.
Really?
Yeah. So I know he has struggled with his health for most of his life and stuff.
And how old is he? He's only young, isn't he?
26.
I don't know.
I think he's about 26. So this whole thing. Actually got me thinking, and I think it was around about the second to last episode.
We're going to do our own Beast Games.
Yes.
What?
I ain't got that kind of money.
Hang on, hang on a minute. He'll take money straight away, Kirk.
So I had this idea.
I mean, first game, a pound. Kirk, balls, I'm taking it. Game over.
So I had this idea. It's absolutely, it's not even achievable, right? But this was the idea that I had, right?
Okay.
And it, compared to Beast Games, it's not even the same thing. But I thought, wouldn't it be cool if we could test our own listeners' integrity, right? And the way that it would work, if we had the means to do this, would it's a measly amount of money, £100. Mm-hmm. If we could have a sponsor and we could have more money, then it would be more. But £100, and we put it in a bank account, right?
Yep.
Now it doesn't quite work like this, I understand, but just hear me out for the sake of it. But we then gave all our listeners on an episode the account number, sort code and name of the account, in order that if they could access that, they could remove money from it. No, they can't do that because you have to own the bank account, whatever. But if they could, and we then say to our that money's going to be in that bank account for 1 month. You can take from it as much or as little as you want or none. But at the end of the month, whatever's left in that bank account will go to charity. How much money would actually get taken from that bank account?
All of it.
Do you reckon?
We've only got one listener, so he'd be taking it straight out. So.
But seriously, I think I'd love to see happened.
I think you've got something there. I reckon we could sort that. I don't know how it's the spending of it that's the problem.
It's people being able to access the money, but it's £100, so it's not an awful lot of money. But the goal, what he's telling everyone is the moral dilemma is if you leave this money in there, it's going to go to charity.
You reckon it would go?
When the money goes, would it be anonymous?
I think it'd have to be.
I think I'd want it to be.
Well, if it's anonymous, then somebody will take it. And then
but actually, if you were to play it by the rules of Beast Games, no, you wouldn't be anonymous. No, you wouldn't. You'd know. That would be a caveat. We'll say who's took the money, or we'll say who's took what amount of money.
Yeah.
You know, so you because the program doesn't, the program's not anonymous that you're watching. You can see who's taking it.
I do like the idea.
It just poses this moral dilemma of the money's there. Yeah. We're saying you can take it if you want it, but whatever's left will go to charity. We're not going to gain from it. It'll go to charity, so you're only taking from charity.
In all fairness, if it was going to be something that wasn't anonymous, then it wouldn't have to be a case of right, we've got £100. Anyone wants any of it, email us, and we'll transfer it to your bank. But then we'll
name and shame.
We'll name it on who it is and who took it.
Yeah.
And at the end of the month, if whatever's left out of that £100, we'll give to charity.
And someone might say, look, I want £5 because I want to do this with it. Or, you know, they could tell us what they want to do with it. But it's just that, what would the result be? And I'm intrigued to know.
Let's have a think.
We'll have a think.
I think you need to sleep on it and realise what a stupid idea it is.
Yeah. Time at the bar, please.
Well, if it's your £100, Rob, then we all...
Well, exactly.
If you do like... I know it's not to the scale of Beast Games or anything like that, but if you can cope with watching, can you cope with watching dubbed things on
I can.
Netflix and Amazon Prime and stuff? So there's a game show on there called The Devil's Plan on Netflix.
All right.
That's brilliant. It's not to the scale of Beast Games, don't get me wrong, but again, the idea of the game show, so basically they've got I can't remember how many people, there's quite a few people in a house together, but they're all so like one of them is like a chess champion, I think, another one is like from Mensa, another one's like a surgeon, a doctor, but I think it's Korean, and basically, they all live in this house, but then they get given games to do. But like games that are they take some strategy and mindset games and stuff. Really good. It's really worth a watch if you do like that sort of setup.
I'd like that.
Like I say, it's not nowhere near to the scale.
Is there another one on Netflix called The Lift or Lift?
Oh, you're thinking about the when they're sort of like in a hotel, they're in a basement and in a top room.
Rise.
Rise.
The one that I nearly applied for.
Oh,
the British one.
Is it where they live in penthouse and they live in basement?
No, not that one. And someone mentioned it at work, and I'm thinking,
I like that.
Is it a game show or actually is it a TV series? But it was just, and I think it's called Lift. I don't know. Ignore me.
Anyway, speaking of games.
Shall we spin the wheel?
Let's spin it.
Let's spin that real lovely wheel.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, it's spinning.
What's it going to be?
Oh, I'm just so excited. Come on. You're nearly there.
The Wheel of Features.
Who's spinning it then?
You.
Me?
Because you're spinning it.
All right. I'm taking my microphone.
I'm always roving.
Right, are you ready? This is very exciting. We've got an actual wheel. This is amazing. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you going to switch the lights on?
No. Why did you have to say that? I'm just ready
just
to
spin the wheel.
Ready? Here we go.
Oh.
What's it going to be?
What's it going to land on? What's it going to be?
Downloading. Complete. Lyric analysis. Complete. AI. Jukebox. Jam. 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 Jam.
Jam. Jam.
Connection lost.
You all know how this one works by now. AI. Jukebox. Jam.
Can you make sure it's right this time?
I'll try my very best.
Okay.
Okay, so I've given AI a song and asked it to give us the meaning of that song. You've got to reverse engineer to find out what it is. So, something reflects on the struggles, regrets, and consequences of a life immersed in crime, poverty, and survival, questioning its worth.
Ooh. That's an interesting one, Rob.
I'll give it you again. Something reflects on the struggles, regrets, and consequences of a life immersed in crime, poverty, and survival, questioning its worth.
I never know if it's a jukebox.
Jukebox jam.
Smooth Criminal. That's my guess.
All right. Good. Well done, Mark.
It's not a bad guess, though.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I had one that came straight to me and then left me straight away after. As you were reading, I was thinking, yes, this sounds familiar, this.
Kirk?
Oh.
I realise that some of the other ones have been quite similar, so I really changed tact on this.
I don't know.
No?
I'm going to throw a curveball out there.
Okay.
And go for Gypsies, Tramps and Thieves.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Good one.
Good track.
I'm not revealing if anyone's right. I'll let you know next week.
Bob.
Have a good week, boys.
See you next week.
See you later, boys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.